Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
From Luke chapter 2, Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Now, if you're a guest with us, if you're brand new in church, don't worry about it. You can listen to me as I read this to you. Hopefully, it'll make sense. If you're a part of Found and you've got a Bible close, whether it's on your phone or a tablet or one with pages, then why don't you grab it and follow the reading? And I'm going to take two short readings from the same chapter, and then we're going to jump straight in. Now, a wee bit of a warning. When I begin the first reading, you might think you've dropped into a parallel universe and you woke up on Christmas. Okay, so the passage I'm going to read to you, we normally only read at Christmas time, which is a bit of a shame because it's absolutely filled with truth. But no, you're not in Christmas. This is still April. And so we're going to read this together. So here we go, in this gorgeous, lovely New Testament that I have with very small print. So here we go. If I get a few words wrong, then please forgive me. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 8, first of all. And here we go. It says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those to whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." And then we're going to stay in chapter 2. One more little reading. We're going to skip to verse 41. Okay, so here we go. Second little reading, and then we'll jump straight in. "Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.' 'Why were you searching for me?' he asked. 'Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and with men." Mary was a remarkable woman. Now, I have to be careful because when you're in a Protestant context, we're a bit nervous about Mary. And the nervousness is maybe because other views on Mary have perhaps exalted her in a way that is not justified in the Bible. Mary is a unique and blessed woman because she is the only woman to give birth to the Messiah. All right? And because of that, we should honor her. In fact, the scriptures say she's blessed above all women. right? So we mustn't be squeamish about Mary. Now, she's not the mother of God, but she is the mother of Jesus. And as the mother of Jesus, the human Jesus, given birth to us, that actually she does deserve a place of special honor. And so maybe if you're a bit nervous that somehow I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say, then just relax on that. Because Mary is a woman worthy of honor. But here's the problem we have. I've discovered that for many followers of Jesus, when we think of Mary, we think of Mary only, and it's a big only, but only as the mother of Jesus. But the Bible teaches us that Mary wasn't just a mother of Jesus. She was a follower of Jesus. Right? She wasn't just there at the beginning of the story. She's there at the end of the story. And if you track the Gospels, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you put them all together and sort of track the story, what we find is this woman keeps popping up. This woman is around in the ministry of Jesus. This woman is at the crucifixion. This woman is at the resurrection. And this woman, if you go all the way into the book of Acts, is in the upper room when the Holy Spirit comes. She's not just there at the beginning. She's there at the end. And she's not just the mother, and I say just carefully with italics, okay? She's not just the mother of Jesus, but she becomes a follower of Jesus. I love this idea. And if we're not careful, we sort of, forgive my language, we reduce Mary down to simply being the mother of Jesus. She delivers the baby, exits the story, and then we move on with Jesus. But the Gospels are very, very careful to show us that Mary's story doesn't end there. Mary keeps going, keeps growing, keeps advancing. Mary becomes a dynamic follower of Jesus, filled with the Spirit in the book of Acts, and we assume following after Jesus until the day she eventually dies. And I love that. I love that. And in our two little passages that we read together, we've got a clue as to why Mary wasn't just the mother of Jesus, but the follower of Jesus. We've got a clue as to why Mary wasn't just there at the beginning, she's there at the end. And I don't know if you were following with me or you even listened to it. You may have picked up two almost identical statements in the two passages. I don't know if you picked that up, but it's there for us. The first one is in verse 19. Let me remind you of it in case you missed it. Okay, it says this. Speaking of when the shepherds come, it says this. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Okay? Now, if that was just a one-off statement, that's pretty important. But actually, later on then, in chapter 2, verse 51, in our second passage, look at the words. It says this. Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Two almost identical phrases. Now, here's what Dr. Luke does for us really cleverly. He doesn't just give those these two identical phrases, but actually, and this is the Bible messes with us sometimes with this stuff, even though these two statements are in the same chapter of the Bible, they are 12 years apart. So the first statement, Jesus has just been born. The second statement, Jesus is 12 years old. When Luke tells us Mary treasures when Jesus is a baby and Mary treasures when Jesus is 12, Luke is suggesting to us this is a pattern of behavior. It's not random. It's not a coincidence. It's not a one-off idea. He's suggesting to us that what you're seeing in Mary is a pattern of behavior. She's treasuring when Jesus is a baby, and she's still treasuring when Jesus is 12. Suggesting a mentality, a lifestyle, an attitude. And I think when the Bible repeats stuff like that, it's like the Bible's turning up the volume for us. And it wants us to pay attention. And when Dr. Luke, who's a very precise writer, when he drops phrases like that and repeats them, that's his way of going, pay attention, pay attention. Something's going on here. And he caught my attention with this because I'm going, wow, two statements 12 years apart saying almost identical things. Now, wee bit of a technical bit here, but hopefully this will help before we jump into some practicality. But when Dr. Luke talks about Mary treasuring, he's doing a lot of heavy lifting in his own language. And a couple of things I want you to see. The word treasure there in both verses, verse 19 and verse 51, is essentially the same. It's the same root idea. But Luke attaches some ideas to each of the words. So the idea of the word here is to look after, to hold on to watch over, to keep. And that's why it's often translated treasured. Okay, I'm a Liverpool supporter, and if you ever came to my house for coffee, we have lots of cups and lots of mugs, but there is one mug no one's allowed to drink from. It's my special Liverpool mug, okay? And if you're a Man United supporter and you drank from that, I would have to like sterilize that and put that through all sorts of work just to fix that, right? So this is my mug. No one has ever drunk out of that mug. It's mine. Right? And I watch over that mug. That's precious to me. That's the sort of idea here. It's a really strong word. Hey, don't touch that mug. Whoever touches that, as Genesis will say, they will surely die. All right? So don't touch me mug. Why? Because it's mine. And I watch over that. That's what Mary's doing here. It's a strong word. It's not a casual word. It's a really forceful word. And that's why many translations translate it treasure. So that's the first idea. The second thing, in chapter 2, verse 19, the way Luke uses the word, it could literally be translated to treasure together. It's a hard idea for us to think about. But the idea here is that Mary is holding the treasure close. So that's the force of the word. It is a treasure she's holding close. There is a sense in which she's watching over it. She's taking care of it. She's not being casual with it, but she's holding it close. This is a special treasure. In chapter 2, verse 51, he tweaks the word a little bit, and it could literally be translated to treasure through. That's a hard idea again for us in English. But the idea here is of Mary protecting the word as she's traveling. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, in our English Bible, it's hard to spot that, but Dr. Luke's doing some heavy lifting here, and he's saying Mary treasured, she held close the word in 2:19, and then Mary treasured, she protected the word as she traveled. Are you with me so far? Okay. The other little thing that Luke does, which is really incredible, and again, we don't always spot this in our English translation, is that the way he uses the word, it's not just a one-off action. No. In fact, the way he uses the word, it's an action in the past that is continuous, right? So in other words, when it says Mary treasured the things that the shepherd said, right? It's not just she treasured it at that moment, move on, but she treasured continuously, right? She held on to the word. So if that word was spoken on Monday, on Tuesday, she's treasuring that word. On Wednesday, she's still treasuring that word. On Thursday, she's still treasuring that word. She is walking with this word. And he does exactly the same in 2:51 when it says that when the words that Jesus spoke to her, she treasured. It's a continuous action. Now, one other little thing to say technically, and then we'll move on. Sorry if it's making your head hurt. But when he says she treasured all these things, many translations have, a literal translation could read, she treasured all these words. Mary's not just treasuring the event. She's treasuring the things that God has said. In the context of the birth of Jesus, the things the angel said and the things the shepherd said and reported to her. And then in 2:51, the things that Jesus has said. So it's not just Mary is treasuring the experience, she's treasuring the word. So what have we got when we put it all together? We've got Mary treating someone, something really special. She's holding it close. She is protecting it. And she's doing it continuously. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's why she's not just the mother of Jesus. That's why she becomes a follower of Jesus. That's why she's not just there at the beginning, but she's there at the end. Because Mary learns to do some stuff with the words of God. Come on now. Come on now. This is important for us. We've been singing about this morning. We've been singing about the promises of God. We've been singing about the faithfulness of God. We've been singing about what God has said and what God said he will do. Yeah. Right? Now, if we believe that stuff, we've got to sort of grab the Mary mentality and say, right, if that's true, if that's what God has said, if that's what God has said to me as an individual, or if that's what God has said to us as a community, if that's what he said, then he has spoken. It's our responsibility not to work that word out, but it's our responsibility to hold that word close. It's our responsibility to protect that word, and it's our responsibility to allow that word to walk with us by walking with it. And if we can learn to treasure, then I believe we can be there at the end, not just the beginning. We can see the word of the Lord fulfilled, not just the word of the Lord spoken. We can see God do what he's promised, because it's God's job to do his word. It's not my job. That's above my pay grade, and it's above yours. It's his job to do his word. It's my job to watch over his word. Come on, are you there? Does that make sense to you? And we can just look at Mary and think, oh yeah, she's a lovely girl, what a good girl, but you know, becomes the mother of Jesus. But no, she's more than that. She's an outstanding follower of Jesus. And she's teaching us a powerful, powerful lesson that hold the words close, protect the words, and do it continuously. This is what's meant by treasuring God's word. Are you with me? And why does she do that? She does that, number one, because the words of God are precious. Yes. Listen to what the psalmist said. He says, your words are more precious than gold. Yeah, right. Much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. You see, if we really believe that when God speaks to us through his book, or God speaks to us in the still place, or when God speaks to us through a man or a woman of God, or God speaks to us prophetically, if we really believe he has spoken, that's gold. Come on now. That's gold. That's precious. That's something that where something of the eternal God is coming into our world. And what's striking is Mary didn't understand everything, because it says in 2:19 she pondered. What's all that about? She pondered. And then in 2:51 it actually says explicitly they did not understand what he said to them. But Mary, what a woman, Mary goes, well, even though I don't fully understand what all of that means, here's what I know. God has spoken. Amen. Yeah. And if God has spoken, even if I don't understand what it means, it's precious. And if it's precious, I should watch over it. If it's precious, I should protect it. If it's precious, I should keep it. If it's precious, it should be mine. And I love this about Mary, that Mary isn't just someone who's heard the word of the Lord and then moves on, but she recognizes God has spoken, and even though I don't know how all that's going to work out, and even though I don't know how God's going to do all of that, and even though I don't fully understand what the word means, I know God has spoken. And my job is not to work it out, my job is to treasure the word. Come on, are you with me? Does that make sense to you? When I was younger, I was into Action Man. I think we've got an Action Man picture possibly coming up for you. Now, this is the before the days of the internet and before the days of computer games, we played with real toys. And this is my Action Man. Now, it's not a doll. It's an action figure. This is very important. I came from the Shankle, so this is an action figure. All right? So this is my Action Man. And I loved Action Man from about 7 years of age. I loved Action Man. And in fact, right through to my mid-teens, I collected Action Man stuff. Now, you could get an Action Man that had a pull cord and he spoke. It was better than that. Honestly, it was. You're a hard crowd to impress. And you could buy an Action Man with eagle eyes. Thank you. You're getting into it now. Come on, help me. And the Action Man with eagle eyes had this little switch at the back, and you moved it and his eyes went like that. That's all he did. He just moved his eyes, nothing else. But it was very, very exciting. Now, I didn't have the Action Man with eagle eyes. I didn't have the pull cord one. I just had the bog standard basic one. But I loved my Action Man. And I looked after him. And I'm that sort of person, when I get stuff, I really look after stuff. If you buy me something, it lasts for forever because I take care of stuff. And that's just the way I'm wired and the way I am. So not only was my Action Man sort of the joy of my life, but then my mum and dad saw how much I loved it and they kept building up the collection. So I got a helicopter. Come on. I got a tank. I got a Jeep. I got a death slide. Come on. And I got all like millions of uniforms, and I would have my uniforms, this is a bit sad, I would have my uniforms all in the right box, all color coordinated, everything. I'm a bit OCD, right? So I've got everything just in its place. And even the Jeep and the helicopter, pristine condition. I'm now 17 years of age. I'm about to go to Bible college. And my mom said to me, son, I think you need to get rid of your Action Man stuff. And I said to my mom, why? And she said, well, if I have to explain that to you, I'm not sure you should be going to Bible college, but there we are. So it's time you let that go. So she was right. And I packed all my stuff up. There's a wee family lived around the back of us and it hadn't got much money. And the wee boy hadn't got much stuff. So I packed all my stuff up. Now, by the time I packed it all up, it was about 4 boxes full of stuff. And I went round to the house, rapped on the door, and I said, look, I'm going to Bible college. Would so-and-so like my Action Man stuff? Well, it was like Christmas came early. It was marvelous. They were very excited, very, very appreciative. The wee boy just wide-eyed as I brought these boxes to his house. Marvelous. I went home to my mother and said, that was a great idea of mine to give away all that Action Man stuff. And she just looked at me. So I give away all that stuff. And then a couple of days later, I made a terrible mistake. I went round to the street. Who knows what's coming, all right? All right, who's feeling my pain already? And I walked round the street, and there was my Action Man stuff. Not in neat boxes, not pristinely taken care of, but scattered as if a war had taken place. And even parts of my Action Man action figure body were lying on the ground. And I looked at all that stuff and I literally got really upset. And I went home to my mother and I said to my mother, Mom, you'll never guess what's just happened. Went round and so-and-so has just like scattered all my stuff. And my mother, with tremendous sympathy, said, son, you need to get over yourself. You need to wise up. But it was a painful, painful moment. And it's still, can you... It's still there. It's still there. Now, I've forgiven the family. I've got through it. But there's still a wee bit of pain sort of knocking about my world. But I learned something powerful that day. That actually, if you don't value something, you don't treat it as precious, then it becomes abandoned. It becomes familiar. It becomes something that you allow to be broken and scattered. See, my Action Man stuff to me was really precious. It cost my mom and dad a lot of money to get that. I love my Action Man. Because of that, it was precious to me. Because of that, I watched over. Because of that, I took care of it. When I give it to that wee boy, he didn't understand any of that. And as a result, just treated the precious thing with disregard. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? Please don't be offended. I meet a lot of Christians and they treat the Word of God like that. They treat the Word of God generally with a fair degree of disregard. They because they don't understand what God said, or because it hasn't worked out the way God said it would work out, or because it's not quite the way it is, we almost disregard the Word of God. But if God has spoken, that's precious. But John, I don't understand it. That's not your job. There's a whole bunch of stuff I still don't understand. But God has spoken. But John, it hasn't happened yet. I understand that, but that's not your job. Your job, my job, is not to fully understand it, because sometimes we can't, sometimes we do. My job is not to work it out. My job is to grab it, hold on to it, and treat it like it's absolutely precious. Because if God has spoken, God will do it. If God has spoken, God will fulfill it. If God has spoken, it will happen. If God has made a promise, that promise will come to pass. When? I don't know. How? I don't know. That's not my job. My job is to go, he has spoken. And because he has spoken, and the enemy wants to steal that from you, the enemy wants to slander his word, the enemy wants to you to abort that word, the enemy wants you to abandon that word, the enemy wants you to be like that child and just let all of that preciousness lie on the floor like it's useless. That's what he wants. That's his desire. But me and you, we go, no, I don't understand it all. I haven't got it all, but this is the word of the Lord, and I'm going to hold it precious. And Mary holds it precious, and that's why she's there at the end. Mary holds it precious, and that's why she's a follower, not just a mother, not just there at the beginning, there at the end, not just a mother, but also a follower of Jesus. What's the Lord said to you? What's the Lord said to this church? What's the Lord promised you? Listen, I understand the difficulties of getting to grips with what he said, but if he has spoken, hold it. And even if he hasn't spoken to you, this word is precious. Give yourself to this word, because this word is precious. Does that make sense to you? Here's the second idea really quickly, and I'm drawn to a close. And it's this. She treasured the word, not just because it was precious, but because she believed it to be powerful. She believed it to be powerful. Now, if you look at Mary's Magnificat, this beautiful song or confession Mary has in Luke chapter 1, amazing. This is a teenage girl speaking the scriptures. She hasn't gone to Torah school because she's not allowed. She's not allowed to go to Bible school because she's a girl. And yet when she speaks this Magnificat, she quotes the Old Testament bit of the Bible 15 times. You're a hard crowd to impress. Come on now. She quotes it 15 times. Why does she quote it? Because it's inside her. It's in her. She quotes this amazing, what we call the Old Testament, her Bible, 15 times. Why? Because Mary understood the power of the Word of God. Here's what God says about his Word over you. He says this, my Word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will not return empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. His word never returns empty. When's it going to happen? I don't know. How's it going to happen? I don't know. But here's what I do know. When he speaks, it's gold. And therefore, my responsibility is to grab that word, keep hold of it, watch over it, and protect it so that that word never disappears or I never become familiar with that word. And here's the second thing I know. If he has spoken, his word will ultimately come to pass. His word will not return empty. His word will achieve what it was sent to achieve. Are you with me? One final story and I'm done. Do the band want to come and get ready? We're going to finish with a great song of worship. When I was training in Bible college, I passed my driving test. And my dad was very kind to me. My dad said, because I passed my driving test, he said, I could drive his car. And so I'm living in Northern Ireland. This is between Bible college, second year and third year. So I passed my test. This is the summer between my second and third year. I'm 19 years of age. And my dad said, son, you can have the car. I was working in a little pioneer church in Cumber, just outside Belfast. He said, take the car. And I was so excited. Now my dad's car was an Austin Allegro. There's a picture coming up on the screen, I think, for you, if we can find that. Now, sexy. It is not. So think of the definition of sexy, and then that's the opposite of that, right? This is not a babe magnet. This is not a car that's going to attract anybody. No one will look at you as you drive down the road. Wow, look at that car. And my dad's Austin Allegro was blue. Didn't have the go faster stripe, because it didn't go very fast. But it was a car, and I love my dad's Allegro. Now listen, the Allegro never really was a great hit. Even the company that made it tried to make it look a bit sexier. This is a risky picture I'm going to put up for you. Okay, even when you put a beautiful woman on top of it, it's still not working, is it? It's just not working at all. You can take that off now. Please take that off. That's a distracting picture. But my dad had an Austin Allegro, and I remember cleaning my dad's car. And I was so happy to be doing that. And as I was cleaning my dad's car in Belfast, a car came up behind me and pulled up right on the street. So my dad lived, mum and dad lived on the main street, and he pulled right up behind me, and it sort of startled me. It's Belfast, so it's a wee bit scary when a car pulls up. And so I stopped, turned around, and there was a brand new Ford Escort XR2i. Now, people of a certain age, that doesn't mean anything. But people of another age, you're going, ooh, that's a nice car. And the covers were still on the seats. And it was beautiful, glacier white, absolutely stunningly beautiful. And a young man jumped out of the car called Russell Gilbert. Russell was one of my best mates in school, All-Ireland boxing champion, good mate to have in school. And he was one day older than me, and he loved me, looked out for me, looked after me. And Russell jumped out of the car and said, John, I thought that was you. I said, how are you doing? How's it going at Bible college? All the boys are very proud of you. We all think you're amazing going to Bible college and all of that sort of stuff. And we had a great chat. We hugged each other. He jumped back in his car and he drove off. And as he drove off, my heart was filled with jealousy. Here I am, second year in Bible college, haven't got 2 pence to rub together, washing an Allegro. My friend at 19 has bought his first house, got a brand new car and tons of money, and he's not even following Jesus. Sorry, did I say that out loud? Anyway, that's what was going on, right? Okay. And as he drove off that day, honestly, truthfully, this is the truth. No, I'm not just making this up. I was totally jealous. And I'm holding the bucket of water, looking at Russell drive up the road and thinking, here I am serving Jesus and I haven't got 2 pence to rub together. I'm driving my dad's not very exciting, sexy Allegro, and there's your man doing his own thing and he's got money to burn. And I can count on maybe one hand the times I think I've really heard the voice of God, like really heard it, not just an impression, not just a feeling, but like absolutely heard the voice of God. And this was one of them. I knew it was God because he spoke in an Irish accent. And the Lord spoke to me. And here's what he said to me. 19 years of age, here's what he said to me. If you will put me first, if you will honor me with your whole life, I will take you to places you never dreamed of going, and I will give you things you could never afford. I was 19 years of age when the Lord spoke that word. I'm now 57. And that word has literally and continues literally to come to pass. I have things today and I don't know how I got them. I've been to places that I didn't even know existed. I've ministered in the desert in Sudan. I've preached in the jungle of Vietnam. I have ministered in the bush of Africa. I've been all over the world. I've stood on the Great Wall of China. And yesterday, I was in Stenhouse Muir. Come on. My life is complete. Come on now. But that word has come to pass. Listen, if you'd have said to me at 19, how's that going to happen? Not a clue. If you'd have said to me at 19, when's it going to happen? Not a clue. But at 57... I can tell you that the word of the Lord does not return empty. That the word of the Lord is true. That the word of the Lord, his promise is faithful. We heard it this morning in the worship. Lamentations, of all the books in the Bible to talk about the faithfulness of God, Lamentations is not the one. Jeremiah, brokenhearted over the destruction of Jerusalem. And in the midst of his brokenheartedness, he says, God is relentlessly faithful. God will fulfill his word. God will do what he has promised. Even though it looks like we're in the middle of catastrophe, God will do it. And here's Jeremiah, still in the midst of his pain, holding precious the word of the Lord, even though it looks like the stupidest thing in the world to do. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. His word is precious. Whether you understand it or not, whether you can see how it's going to work out or not, his word is precious. Our job is not to work it out. Our job is not to try and manipulate it. Our job is simply to hold it precious. to hold it close, to say, this is the word of the Lord. This is the promise of God. This is the gold that God has graciously dropped into my life, and I will hold it close, and I will hold it near, and I will hold it precious, and I will watch over it, and I will protect it, because at some point in the future, God will do what he has promised. Mary's there at the beginning, but she's there at the end. Mary is the mother, but she's now the follower. Why? Because she treasured. She treasured these words in her heart. I want to challenge you today. Be a people that treasure. Be a people that watch over. Be a people that protect. Be a people that hold close. Be a people that realize the word of the Lord is perfect and that will revive our soul. Will you stand with me if you can? The band's going to lead us in a song. And as we sing this song, I want to encourage you, whoever you are, remind yourself, if it's relevant, of the things the Lord has said to you. Remind yourself of the things that God has promised. Remind yourself of the faithfulness of the Lord. Remind yourself that God's word will not return empty. Words he's spoken over your children. Words he's spoken over your life. Words he's spoken over your family. Promises he's made to you that don't look possible at the moment. But if he has spoken it, these words will come to pass. Don't let the enemy steal them. Don't let the enemy slander them. Don't let the enemy destroy them. But allow the word of the Lord to live within us. The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord is perfect. It revives our soul, and the commands of the Lord are radiant. They give light to our eyes. Lord Jesus, I pray, whatever precious words have been deposited in the hearts and...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.